feels fine when I'm near you, baby. I love you the best.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with 7th District Congressman Elijah Cummings. Please call us with your comments at 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Comment on your Facebook page, on our Facebook page, I mean to say. Or send us an email to talk with us at Steiner, at talk@steinershow.org. 410-319-8888. We now talk with Congressman Cummings, who's spent the entire last couple of weeks in the community, in the streets, with everybody, with the people, and in the wake of the death of Freddie Gray. And Congressman, welcome. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you, Mark.
How are you?
I am very, 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 very tired.
I'm sure you're tired. You spent hours and hours and days in the streets of Baltimore when I ran into you in front of City Hall just a few days back. I mean, you looked exhausted.
Yeah, but it was worth every second of it. I got to tell you, it was worth it.
Tell me what you mean by that. What do you mean it was worth it?
Well, what I mean is, Mark, what I worried about was I knew that our city was in a situation where any incident between the police and the community could cause the whole city to erupt. I knew that. And that north in Pennsylvania is just an area where, I mean, the tension, I don't know if you went by there.
Oh, yeah, many times.
But you could feel the tension in the air, particularly as you approach the 9 o'clock hour, between 9 and 10, because there were a lot of people that were determined to stay out. You had the police every night lined up with their shields and looking like they were ready for battle. And you always had people in the crowd who were saying things that were not very kind. And so I knew that if anything erupted, and I also kept in mind, by the way, that these were officers that many of whom were working 12-hour shifts and probably were a little, you know, understandably tired. And so I could feel that something could happen at any moment. And if that happened, then, of course, with Baltimore being on television all that time, instantly other people would know about it. Any incident, of course, with Twitter and email, people would know about it, and I just felt that it would spread all over the city.
So I'm curious, though. You said about several things during the course of your time here in the streets when this was happening, and one of the things you did is you called for something that I heard you say, inclusion revolution.
Yes.
What does that mean?
What it means is that we have got to make sure that we leave no person behind. A lot of our communities, Mark, the community that I'm sitting in right now, my house is literally three blocks from northern Pennsylvania.
Right.
A lot of folks have been left behind, my brother. You've got young people who feel that they have not gotten an appropriate education, going to the ninth grade, reading on third grade level. You've got others who can't find jobs. You've got others who find themselves in situations where they're not properly trained for the jobs. You got folks that have lost their homes, and not necessarily that they own the home, but they don't have anywhere to live. They're now living with relatives because of the recession. And then you got others who may have criminal records. They can't find jobs. And so what you have is a population that is growing, and it's a pretty difficult situation. And so when it says inclusion revolution, we're talking about bringing everybody together so that they will have equal opportunity to go forward into their destiny.
So, I mean I'm curious about a couple of things. I mean, you grew up in the city. You grew up in a time when our town was segregated. You grew up in a time when early on black police officers couldn't arrest white people in the city.
I remember that. I definitely remember that.
Right. So you know that there's a lot of tension between a lot of officers and people in our communities. People talk often about the systemic racism that happens inside the department. So I'm curious what you think. this is probably not something that Congress can do. Maybe they do have a role in this. But what do we do to start addressing that? I mean, you know, it's the time is still very tense. The police department is still very tense, especially around what State's Attorney Mosby has done in indicting six officers. There's a huge amount of tension here. And also people have never been able to find a way to ameliorate or change the culture inside our department, let alone in the streets. So I'm curious, where do you think you begin?
You begin, Mark, by doing what I have already asked the Attorney General to do. I asked her to do it last week, actually, when the federal delegation had a meeting, a conference call with her. You have to look at our police department and have a patterns of practice investigation. We already have what's called a collaborative investigation that started in October, and that was called for by the mayor and the federal delegation. And then we now have, and that's one where the police cooperate with DOJ and the community policing unit of the DOJ. The other one, investigation that is going on, is the civil rights investigation / criminal investigation with regard to Freddie Gray. And we also asked for that. But now that is the federal delegation to ask for that. But now we have to go deeper. We have to have a Ferguson-type investigation that, to be frank with you, I think would benefit the police and the community. Keep in mind, in Ferguson, when they did, and it's called a practice-type investigation,
mm-hmm.
you know, pattern and practice patterns, a practice. And what it does is it looks, for example, at Ferguson, they discovered in Ferguson, and I don't think they'll find this, let me give you an example how deep it can go. They discovered in Ferguson that the police department were writing parking tickets to help the budget. And that they, and when they had budgetary problems, they wrote extra parking tickets and gave extra fines and things of that nature to support, you know, to supplement the budget of the city, and most of those fines were on African-American people. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen if they look in Baltimore, but I'm saying they can go look deep into the forest to figure out exactly what we're doing right, what we're not doing right, and then come back and perhaps enter into some kind of consent decree with regard to things that we need to be doing. Because that's the only way you're going to deal with this. I can't think of any other way. And the reason why I say that, too, Mark, is this. Keep in mind that I think some of the problems, and we've got most of our police men are great, and police women are great people, and they do a wonderful job. I know a lot of them. As a matter of fact, all throughout this last 5 or 6 days, I've had so many police officers come to me and say to me, they whisper in my ear, have a pattern of practice investigation. And because they want it. They want it because they know that there's certain things that they probably see that they can't talk about. Or they don't, you know, they're maybe uncomfortable talking about. But they know that if DOJ comes in, folks are going to, they can look, find out whatever they need to find out.
Now, I know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know that Monday, because I know you only have a couple of minutes left. I know that Monday you're coming to town with Senator Elizabeth Warren,
about
a middle class prosperity project.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a connection between that and what's going on in our community? What do you intend to do there?
Oh, sure. What's happening? This is our fifth one. We've traveled around the country, Elizabeth Warren and yours truly. And what we're doing on Monday, by the way, is we're looking at payday lenders, those people who are encouraging people, giving people, loaning people money while they wait for their refunds from IRS. And what we're doing, Mark, is trying to help people in neighborhoods like mine that do not have appropriate banking services and trying to look at how folks come into these neighborhoods and take advantage of folks who already are not making a lot of money. And we've been working with the consumer, Consumer Protection Bureau, the National Consumer Protection Bureau, to try to find, create rules and regulations and laws that will make sure that people are not taken advantage of. It's also to try to encourage banks to do businesses in communities like the one I live in. There's a direct connection. The people who are working, a lot of them are the working poor, and we want them to hold on to more of their money. So we're going to be at the University of Maryland Law School library from 1 to 3, University of Maryland Law School at Lombard and Packer from 1 to 3 on Monday. Elizabeth Warren and yours truly, and talking about that issue.
That's important. I mean, I know the shows we've done before have, but we found out that a number of these payday institutions were actually owned by some of the larger financial institutions in our country.
That is absolutely right.
And that seems to me that's a huge injustice. We can put payday loan institutions in our communities, but not the banking, but not bank branches.
That's right. And by the way, we've also the last one we did was on student loans. We did one at Howard University about student loans and how all these students are coming out of college saddled with all kinds of debt. They can't buy a house. They can't buy a car. They can't get married. They are just, I mean, they are literally in debtor's prison. And so we had one dealing with that. And then, of course, we've dealt with the senior citizens who are having financial advisors come in and creating these deals where the broker gets a lot of money, the advisor gets a lot of money, and the senior citizen is often left with nothing. That was another panel discussion that we had a few weeks ago.
So do you have time for one quick call? So a caller's called in. We have to move to our next segment, but do you have time for one call?
Sure, sure.
410-319-8888. Rick in Delaware, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning,
How
Rick.
How are you?
Good, very well.
And,
welcome.
And hi to Eliza Cummings also.
Hello.
I was calling in because I wanted to add an observation. Representative Cummings was mentioning praise to the police. I wanted to mention that a couple of the police officers who apparently were out in the community and were lauded for their efforts to quell the violence were actually graduates of a program that used to exist at Frederick Douglass High School, the Advocates Program, under the administration of Kurt Schmoke.
Wow.
And the former superintendent of schools then, before the state took it over, and there were a number of violence prevention programs that had been developed in the school system at that time. Advocates in particular is still promoted nationwide by the Justice Department for its highly successful track record, starting in Baltimore, but it was shut down under the O'Malley administration, as I recall, and Sheila Dixon attempted to resurrect it, and we all know what happened in the course of those events, but I think it is significant that that's a program that worked, that and other programs that had been set up at the time have excellent track records. Baltimore needs to get back to them, put them back in place, because if they had stayed around, we wouldn't be in the current situation. So
right.
Thank you for mentioning
that. I promise you that we will jump on that. I think that's. I'm glad you put that up. But let me say this too, Mark. Yeah, the police worked very closely with me at North in Pennsylvania. I mean, we had a good relationship. I talked to them every night before I came out, and we had a plan. And I try, and so a lot of policemen were very helpful to us. You don't hear those stories, nor do you hear the stories about the many men that came out and helped to keep people calm and help and escort ladies off the street, make sure they got home safely. There were a lot of good things that happened. I'd love to come back on, Mark, and talk about it because I cannot do justice in 10 minutes.
No.
To all of the great things that did happen.
Well, I'm looking forward. Maybe in the next week we'll work with your staff to figure out the time that you can come on for an hour in studio. That would be wonderful and take callers.
I would love to do that.
All right. So one last quick question, Congressman Cummings. Elijah, are you any closer to making a decision about running for the Senate?
Well, I got suspended. Well, my decision making got suspended during that period. But I'm doing over a week, last week or so. And I'm getting back to it now.
All right.
So very shortly.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Congressman Elijah Cummings here on the Mark Steiner Show. We're going to take a very short break and come back with our two guests to look at the history that brought us to this point. Stay with us. We will be right back. And we are going out with, Proud Mary, Ike and Tina Turner, went gold on this day in 1971.